I thought I wasn't going to get to make it. I really did. I was working at the sawmill, and, you know, hard to get good help at the sawmill on any occasion. But I wanted to come so bad, and went up to the foreman with tears and said, I know it's asking too much, but if it could possibly be arranged, I sure would like to get off for just 2 days if it won't close you down. Oh, he said, go on, Brother Earl. Have yourself a good time. My wife can do what you're doing. Amen. 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 Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9 and verse 7, the latter part, the last few words, God loveth a cheerful giver. Let's think about that for just a few moments. God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, there'll be a question. Why does God love a cheerful giver? If you're a cheerful giver, you may have the answer to that. I say, if you are a cheerful giver, you may have the answer to that. God loveth a cheerful giver. Number one, I believe that God loves a cheerful giver because there's only a few of them. I mean, if you had all the cheerful givers to line up, you think it'd be a real long line? Only a few. I believe if they have all the cheerful givers, I mean, that existed in the entire world, wouldn't be too hard to count them. Just be a small congregation. But you know the Lord loves a little flock. And my honest opinion is that God finds the majority of cheerful givers in a little flock. Now, don't tell on me, and don't tell on him, but he didn't say, fear not, big flock. Nothing wrong with a big flock. God appreciates a big flock, but there's something special about a little flock. He said, fear not, little flock. For the good pleasure, give unto you the kingdom. I believe the reason he said that, he found some cheerful givers in that little flock. Little flock. Oh, and then another thing about a little flock, cheerful giver, you find cheerful givers in a little flock. But cheerful givers, now hear me, weigh me out. Don't turn me off. Cheerful givers never hear the Lord knock. Hear me? Cheerful givers never hear the Lord knock. You say, why, preacher? They keep the door open. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not knocking the cheerful giver's heart. He don't have to. He has free access.
Amen.
Now reason this with us for a moment. I thank God and I praise him from the abundance of my heart for the times that he knocked at my heart's door. But he's never in his place when he knocks at my heart's door. His place is on the inside. And when the Lord knocks at my heart's door, that tells me there's something wrong inside. That tells me I'm not a cheerful giver when the Lord is knocking. He don't have to knock at the door of a cheerful giver. He has free access. Does he ever knock at your door? If he does, you need to check up. If he ever not has to knock at your door, you might ought to count your money. And you'll realize you're keeping too much for yourself. He's a knocking, trying to get some of it. But if you're a cheerful giver, you give it before you asked. Amen. Now reading it with us for a moment. Hebrews said something like this. Seeing, therefore, we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. It's all point, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, that's you and I, therefore, come boldly. The real Greek word says, come on in. Cheerful givers don't have to stop and knock to get in. They have free access into the presence of the Lord. A cheerful giver has access to come on in without knocking. If you have to knock, you're not a cheerful giver. They're kind of scarce. Cheerful givers. Question would be, are we a cheerful giver? Now, it's a sad commentary when we do not give cheerfully. Now, let me ask you a question. Has there been some times when you didn't give? I mean, even if they're twisting your arm, you still don't give? Sad commentary over in the book of Malachi in chapter 3. He said something like this. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. He said, return unto me and I will return unto thee, saith the Lord of hosts. But they said, wherein shall we return? He said, in tithe and offering. You have robbed me, even the whole nation. But you say, when have we robbed thee? In tithe and in offering. Now reason this with us for a moment. He said, even from the days of your fathers. I could go back a long ways. That could be a long span of time. But he said, in all that long span of time, you've not been given. Don't you think, to say the least, they owe a little back offering? You say, preacher, you really mean that we ought to catch up on our paying and our giving for a span back this way? Well, we'll assume that the taxes on your property is, well, let's say 5 years behind. You go down to the office and you say, now I'm going to, starting today, I'm going to keep my taxes paid every year. That'd be good. What about the 5 years behind? You think that they would wipe that out? I mean, if we'd be willing to pay our back taxes, why wouldn't we be willing to pay our back tithe? Could you say that God loves a child of God that's 5 years behind on his tithes? Would he praise him, say, I'm so glad to see you? Think so. He wouldn't be real easy to get along with 5 years behind. Amen. As we find that he speaks some plain words here that's easy to understand. Cuts pretty deep. He said, you're a thief! How much do you appreciate a thief? I mean, a known thief. A known thief. You trust him in your house. You say, God, trust, appreciate, embrace, bless. A thief? That's what I said we were. Hard to love a thief. Let me use my little car right here for just a thought. I've been riding in that little car for about 12 years now. And it's got now 581,000 miles on it. And I personally think it's pretty well paid for itself. I'm not saying this would ever be true in regards to that little car, but if someone were to steal that thing, I don't worry about that. That's the farthest from my mind. It'd be a miracle if it did happen. They tell me out in Houston, never, never, never leave your car unattended. Never leave it unlocked. I leave mine sitting in Main Street. Keys in the ignition. Money laying in the seat. Nobody ever bothered. Had a valuation run on it up in New York about 10 years ago. The going price, if it was in good shape, $165. But I'm saying this. It'd be a real hard for me to really appreciate a thief steal my car. What do you think about a thief? You really love, you really appreciate the thief? The Bible said that's what you are if you're not a cheerful giver. Not only a thief, but he said you're under a curse, under a curse. To say the least, that's not a pleasant life. I just say this about being under a curse. I've been under a curse a few times on the highway. You ever been under a curse on the highway? I was going up 81 way up in Pennsylvania one time, and I looked over in the grass and I saw a patrol car sitting there. That brought me under a curse. And I thought, oh Lord, here I am hundreds of miles away from home and I'm broke and I don't have my driver's license, and Lord have mercy, he's going to take me to jail, and he's going to put me in. I won't be able to, I won't never be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel no more. And sure enough, he pulled out right behind me. Lord, I fainted. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Passed me up and got the man right in front of me. My thought was, I'm guilty. Might as well pull him behind and give up. But just before I put my brakes on, I happened to say, he's busy. be ashamed to frustrate him when he's busy. I say, when you're under a curse, when you're under a curse, it's not pleasant. God said, if you're not a cheerful giver, you're under a curse. If the truth was really known, how many is under a curse? Your fellowship's not perfect with God when you're under a curse. No, no. No, no. No, no. Someone said, when the preacher's just too hard, I can't afford to give. Well, maybe you can't. You've got to give before you can afford to give. You never will be, you never will be able to afford to give unless you start giving.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He said, give and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
He died, pressed down, running over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then it'll be easy to give when that comes. The reason you can't give is because you won't give. It might not frustrate him too much to even borrow you a dollar and give it if you get back 10. Amen. I say again humbly and tenderly, if you can't give, you can't give because you don't give. You give, you give. You scratch around. You scratch around, find a little bit to give. God will replace it. He sure will. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open ye the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that not room enough to receive. In the light of that scripture alone, you cannot afford not to be a cheerful giver. Amen. I'm going to close with this. You don't believe, but I'm going to close with this. Give me 2 country minutes, and we're going to close her up. You see, when you are a cheerful giver, what you do, you make room for God in your life in His rightful place. God in heaven never dwell in His rightful place in my heart, in your heart, unless we're a cheerful giver. Now let me ask you a question here. Your money, whether it be a great sum or a meager fare, where is it placed in your life? Where is it found in your life? If the truth were known, I'd say for the most part, it's on the throne of your heart. Check it out and see. Check it out and see if for the most part your money, whether it's a small amount or what's a large amount, it's sitting on the throne of your heart. Check it out and see. When you reach in there and you get that money that's sitting on the throne of your heart and you give it to His glory, that opens the door for Him to come in His rightful place in your heart. And then, just another thought or two here, the benefits of it. In the light of the Scripture, can you really picture a cheerful giver being broke? Didn't the Bible say unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, for the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without. Just to the glory of God. I believe a cheerful giver has always got something to give. Come on.